Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you and I were standing face to face, you know what I would do? I'd grab your shoulders, or maybe even your face. I like to touch people on their face. I would look you in the eye, and I would tell you how much God loves you, how much He's promised you, how faithful He is to fulfill His purposes for you. I'd pray for your healing. I'd pray for your strength. And then I'd pray for a revival of hope that God is very much involved in your story, that hope would make a comeback in your heart, and you'd start to live with this expectancy. And then I would pray that God would so empower you with His Holy Spirit that you'd go out and you do the same for someone else. We have the power to change a person's life with our words, and not just positive words, biblical life-giving words. And that's why I'm so excited to welcome our friend back to the show, Pastor Alan Wright, to talk about his really amazing book, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. And we're going to do what we always do when Alan's on, toward the end of the show. This is such a sacred time whenever he does this. He speaks prophetically. He really does. I'm going to have him speak over the men, and then I'm going to have him speak over the women, a blessing. And I want you to just open your hands, open your mouth, open your heart, and receive a blessing right from the heart of God through the mouth of one of God's people. And also, we've got 5 copies to give away today. And you know, you hear a lot of people making New Year's resolutions, which we'll hear about, you know, in a couple of months. But what if you made a holiday resolution that you decided to go through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year, deciding to bless and not curse? Well, Alan's book, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love, would help you so much in that resolution, where if you really decided, I'm accepting the challenge. Every week from here to the end of the year, I'm going to speak life to people. I'm going to call courage out of people. I'm going to borrow people my faith. You start to become a life dispenser because of the way that you're showing up in your everyday life. What if you did that? If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. As you well know, if you listen often enough, we are very committed to reading God's Word together on Faith Radio. We go through one Bible reading program after another. I want you to join us for our next Bible reading plan, and this one is to go through the Advent season together. Sign up for free. Let us know you're with us. You'll receive a free study guide and then access to the Reading the Bible Together podcast. All that info is on our website, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Alan Wright is the lead pastor of Renolda Church in North Carolina. He's the author of several books. He's a popular conference speaker, host of a daily 30-minute radio program syndicated on, listen to this, more than 400 stations, where he encourages listeners through the good news of the gospel. Alan, it's been way too long. Welcome back to the program.
Susie, it's so good to hear your voice. So good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I always love our conversations. I always know I'm just going to get a dose of joy after I talk with you. So yeah. Appreciate that so much. Well, you know this. You've been on plenty of times. We love to start out the show just making it personal. And I'm wondering what the Lord's been talking to your heart about these days.
Susie, I have for years led a conference on the healing of shame. We call it the Shame Off You Conference. And during the pandemic, we hadn't been doing it so much, and I led a conference on Friday and Saturday. And in the middle of that conference, I make mention of how the lies of shame, things that we believe that are absolutely false and can end up shaping the way we're thinking, behaving, and feeling without us realizing it. And we talk about that, and we expose those lies of shame. And then sometimes, and we did this weekend, I share about how we might unwittingly, unconsciously attach, even early in our childhood, ungodly vows and oaths to those wrong beliefs. And every time, and it happened this weekend, every time we share about how to expose those kinds of oaths in your life, it can be dramatically liberating. And I was thinking about sharing that again this weekend, and I was looking back on one of the judges in Israel, Jephthah, who was really a wounded person. He was the son of a prostitute. He ruled as a judge for 6 years, and he was a mighty warrior. But he had shame in his life, and I think it's what led him. When they called him back and said, "Will you lead us in our battles against the Ammonites?" he made this hasty vow that if, "Lord, you'll give me success, then when I get back from the battlefield, whatever comes out of the tent first, whatever comes first, that's what I'll sacrifice to you." And when he comes back, this horrid scene where his own daughter, his only daughter, comes out dancing to greet him. And child sacrifice is an abomination to God. And there is no way in the world that God would ever want or be honored by such. And yet the text doesn't mention the death or a burnt offering. Some might say maybe Jephthah never killed his daughter, but it seems that he did fulfill his vow. You wonder about a story like that and the binding power of vows that we make that God never asked us to make. And I don't know, I felt maybe someone listening might need to hear the example in my own life. When my dad left home and I was in fourth grade, and even though so much good came out of it, including the most important thing, my mother called out to the Lord and met Christ and then introduced me and my older brothers to Jesus. But even having this young relationship with God, I had unconsciously thought, maybe if I were different, Dad would come home. Or maybe if I made even better grades or played an even better tennis game. You know, you're not conscious of these things as a child. But I remember feeling like, boy, if I would pray more, then he would come home. Well, both my parents, they were eventually remarried. I was in my first or second year of ministry in a small church in Durham, North Carolina, and I was working all the time. My wife was like, "You've got about 70 people. How are you working 65 hours a week?" I wasn't just trying to be a good pastor. I was trying to be the perfect pastor. I mean, I was, if you had an appendectomy, I'd be there before the family got there and before the doctor got there, sitting in the hospital all day. I was perfect. And what was going on with me? I was driven. And it wouldn't be until some years later, God began this process of teaching me about shame and the healing of shame. And I learned from the pioneering work of John and Paula Sanford in inner healing and their work on ungodly and inner oaths. And when I did, the Holy Spirit showed me something. And I had never seen it until I was an adult. I was driven and perfectionistic. And I saw it just from the Lord that when I was a child and my dad was gone, I unconsciously made an oath. I will not rest until I have my family back together, happy and healthy again. I didn't realize it, but I'd made it. And it was driving me. And now I've become a pastor. My parents were remarried. They're never getting back together again. And yet here I was, so driven, so perfectionistic, so workaholic. What was I doing? What would I do anytime there was any conflict? I took it too far in trying to solve it as a pastor. And as I was praying about this and learning about the healing of shame, the Lord showed me by asking me a question, "Alan, who's your family now?" And it dawned on me, Susie, the church was my spiritual family. And I was operating out of this hidden oath that said, "I will not rest until I have my family all together, happy and healthy."
Wow.
And when I realized this, Susie, and I realized I had a binding oath that God had not asked me to make, and it was built on a lie that said that I could control people, or I could make people happy, or I could make people get along. I can't do any of that. And I actually not only repented of that, but I stood up in front of the church and I explained about the power of ungodly oaths and how we have made them and how we can break them. And I stood up in front of the whole church, explained it all, and I explained what I just have told you about how I had unconsciously vowed that I'd never stop, I'd never rest until everybody. And I said, "I hereby renounce it. I break it off my life. It's rooted in a lie. It's impossible. And I renounce that vow. And then I looked at the congregation and I said, I love you all. I'm going to preach the word of God to you. I'm going to love you as best I can. And I hope y'all get along. But it's not my job to make it.
Go, Pastor.
I feel so much freedom. In fact, I feel the freedom even when I say it to you right now. Because sometimes I think what we do is that we make our own laws. We make our own vows, and thankfully, not as severe as Jephthah's, but in the same way, we're saying, I'm going to try to fuel my life, empower myself by establishing my own vow and my own law, and then try to keep it. Well, we've just put ourselves under the very law that Jesus came to set us free from.
And it brings death.
It brings death, and it always leads to it. So the ultimate, like, why is that Jephthah story in the Bible? Well, it's right there, as you said. That kind of vow that God never asks of you and runs contrary to grace, it always leads to death. So maybe for one of our listeners, it's a day to have the Holy Spirit show you, and you break it off your own life and renounce it and announce the truth over your life. It can be really, really freeing.
I just so love that you expressed this. We'll go to our break here in just a moment. But, you know, there are so many, and they kind of get baked into your subconscious where you don't even know they're there, but they're still driving you. I mean, there are women who've experienced sexual trauma as a child and said, I'll never trust a man again. And they may end up getting married. They may love their husband, be married to a good guy, but they're self-sabotage over and over again. Because they got their arms stretched out. So, you know, let's pause here. But when we come back, if you don't mind, I want to dig a little deeper. How do people identify you? I know you said ask the Holy Spirit, but I would love to know in your past of teaching on this, what are the ways God has shown people that they've made inner vows? And friends, as you're listening today, be praying as well. And maybe you've already been through this. Testify to it. Text me and let me know if God's helped you identify an inner vow you made that you know God never asked of you and it was actually self-sabotaging. Text me 877-933-2484 because we're talking about living a blessed life, living in the blessing and the favor of God. And I mean, Ellen Wright has such a balanced perspective. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is really like coming under a Hebrew blessing, the way the Israelites, they bless their children. Even Hebrews today do this. Jewish people do this today. What can we learn about the blessing and living under the blessing? More with Ellen Wright in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Ain't no doubt about you. I love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend, author, Pastor Ellen Wright. He's got such a powerful book. And to me, he writes like he speaks. He just oozes blessings on people. You're with him and you feel like your cup's filled back up again. This book is titled The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. And forward was written by Dr. Gary Chapman. Got a handful of copies to give away thanks to Baker Publishing. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And we always pray before we start the show, trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us. And I really believe God showed up. And my first question to Alan is, what's the Lord been talking to you about? And he does these conferences, Shame Off of You, where he helps people come out and break off of the shame in their lives. And was talking about inner oaths that we make under trauma, stress, loss when we're young. We don't even realize it, but we're driven out of those places or driven because of those places. And Ellen, I would love to know if we could just stick with the topic for a moment. But when you preach on this and you see people all of a sudden come to a revelation of kind of a core belief or an inner vow that they made out of fear and self-preservation, how does that revelation come and then what happens next?
So what we do in the conference, and I think this is a good tool for anyone, is we start by identifying if shame is a lie that says, I don't measure up as I am, and I need to do something to improve myself in order to truly be accepted in love, which is the opposite of the gospel, which teaches us that God loves us while we're still sinners, and that there's nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable. God's done that for us in Jesus. And so if shame is a lie that says you don't measure up and you're not acceptable right now, well, attached to that, like a house of thoughts, is stone after stone of other deception. And I like to take people through, well, what are all the related deceptions from hell? And we actually take some inventories and work through them. And there's a list of statements that people indicate. Do you think it's true or false? Like, for example, as I pull up the worksheet in front of me, I see here's one that starts, I can protect others from being hurt. Well, that's false because, well, even Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. There's a part of me, even as a pastor, that thinks that that's what I can do. I'll just make sure no one gets hurt. And it's wonderful for us to do all we can to help protect someone. And of course, we try to protect our children. But as soon as we believe something like that, a deception, one of the things that can happen is that then unconsciously we attach an oath to it. In this case, the oath likely might be, I won't let people I love be hurt. I will do whatever it takes to keep people that I love from ever facing any suffering. Well, I've watched people pastorally, Susie, over the years with this oath completely in a codependent way begin to erode their health and not offer any lasting help to another person because we become like someone who's jumped in the quicksand with them. Well, there's statements like this that when you can discover, and as you discover anything in your life that you have believed that wasn't true, and then you get revelation about it, a statement as simple as long as I'm sinful, God can't bless me. Well, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, Paul says. So that statement can't be true. As long as I'm sinful, God can't bless me. But if we believe that, if that gets into us, which is a moralistic, legalistic, toxic religious way of trying to live out Christianity, but if we believe that, if we unwittingly adhere to that, then oaths get attached to it oftentimes, like, I'll just try harder and harder to be good, or I will just prove myself to God. I'll make myself worthy. I won't allow myself to be blessed until I get my act together. You see, those kind of self-sabotaging oaths. So what I like to do is expose the lie first and then go, okay, what sort of oaths might be hiding behind that lie, attached to it? And the beautiful thing about this is that when we make these oaths, because we're the ones that made them, we can tear it down. We can renounce it. And when we do, it's one of those things in spiritual growth that can bring powerful, instantaneous healing. Now, there's a process to walk it out, but this is the stuff of being delivered from something that's really binding us. And so I would just suggest you, as you grow, and as you discover truths, and as you work with others to discover those truths, and you find out more and more about who you are in Christ, and you discover more and more about what God has truly done to make you his own so that now you see your real identity in Christ, you'll uncover lies that maybe you've believed your whole life. Well, then ask a second question. What oath might have been attached to that? And when you discover it, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just show you, and sometimes with a friend or counselor, or a small group, you can discover it and then renounce it and speak the truth of your life. It is incredibly powerful.
Oh, amen. What, you know, when you've seen people get free and the light go on for them, what changes for them?
Well, like at the conference, the first thing that you notice is, we'll have this conference. I'll say, listen, we're talking about deep wounds. We're talking about stuff you're not going to have to share. But by the time we get to this point in the conference and we talk about oaths and people have some time alone with the Lord, I usually say, does anybody have one they want to share? And this past weekend, five people stood up and shared with their own mouth, here's an oath I discovered. The first thing that happens is that usually there is sort of the emotion that goes of, oh, I feel God is doing something in my life. And then comes a sense of liberty and joy. And what then happens after that, as I counsel with them, is there's going to be a temptation for it to creep back in. But now you've become conscious. The oath isn't managing you. You're in charge of it. And so it's something that you continue and repeat. But I think what happens in people's lives is the same thing happened in mine. It's like a hidden tyrant within gets overthrown. And now you can begin to really open up your spirit to the truth of God and to the power of the gospel. It's as if these oaths are standing in the place of the fullness of the gospel and all of God's glorious spirit-filled power, wherein we live not by the flesh, but by the spirit. And so what happens is people begin to discover more of the power of the gospel.
It's so powerful. When I think of how God uses you today, Pastor, and really the extent of your influence with radio, writing, your shepherding your flock, and the winsome, joyful, humble way you do that, there is no way you could be doing all of that with the inner tyrant still running the show. I mean, when I think of, and that to me is such a visual for all of us, don't you think, where, you know, you feel like you have some semblance of control if you're bowing to that oath or idol or whatever, because you've got some skin in the game, so to speak. But when it gets exposed and you trust God, it opens up to the whole, you know, really, though, as you say, the spirit factor of the power of the Holy Spirit suddenly breathing on your life and multiplying your offering. I mean, talk about just for you what that transformation has been like.
Well, one of the things that has happened for me is that I also had to break off this lie and oaths attached to it that say it's better to hide my emotions, better to cover up my weaknesses so that I won't bother others or hurt their opinion of me. And I didn't know it, but that is something that a lot of kids like me who had a broken and alcoholic home, and nobody ever said, hey, you shouldn't tell anybody, but that's the way we did. And so this is primal. This is fundamental. And so I couldn't even tell anyone. I couldn't even tell anyone through college that my dad, who I love so much, was an alcoholic. I was under that lie. And the oath that goes with it, I just won't let anyone see my weaknesses. Because if we believe that we are going to be less loved because we don't perform well, then of course we'll hide anything that looks like a weakness. And so one of the things that just happened for me is that, well, here I am. I'm talking to you. I'm talking on live radio. I go walk around. I write books. I say, why? Because now I realize that it's not better to hide myself. It's better to, in trusting relationships and by the grace of God, open up, because I don't believe that I'll be less loved. I believe that God so loved me that he sent his only begotten son. And that gospel truth now not only overrides the fear of being found out, it fuels me to have authentic community and receive authentic love that heals and transforms.
Can somebody text me an amen? It is Friday. It's time for an amen. That is a powerful testimony, and I pray it's a vision for you. When we come back, we're going to talk to you. If you don't feel like you fit in, if you feel left out, outside of the circle, there's a blessing for you, and we're going to speak it over you. Talking to author Pastor Alan Wright. More with him in just a moment. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend, Pastor Author Alan Wright. We love this man so much. Today we're talking about the power of blessing, and my hope and prayer is that you leave blessed today. You know, there's things that we accept that we should reject, and there's things that we reject that we should accept. We need to reject rejection. We need to accept acceptance. And we're talking about Alan's book, and I really challenge you, even get a head start on the New Year's resolution. We're, you know, heading up to Thanksgiving. I challenge you to make a resolution to walk through these holidays holidays to be a blessing, where you're speaking life. Every week, you're finding someone to call courage out of them, borrow your faith to them, speaking life to them. And if you need help with that and just practical ways to walk that out, Alan's book is just pure gold. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Alan, you write this: the blessing everyone needs most is to know they belong. Everyone needs to be adopted by God. Thankfully, there's no age limit for joining the family. There's no limit to the Father's heart, no restriction of space in the kingdom. When you bless others, you remind them of that and help them believe in the permanence of God's adopting love. When you bless people, you tattoo the name of God on their hearts. I'm wondering if you would speak to that person today who loves Jesus but has perpetually felt on the outside of the circle. What would you say to them?
In Christ, you're accepted. And just to say, just receive this. Just receive it down deep. And in Christ, you are accepted. And what this means is, oh, no, and it's not like, oh, yeah, okay, now that's right. Yeah, he accepts. No, in Christ, as you are right now, you are 100% accepted. It means that you're safe in the love of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You've received the spirit of adoption. So, heir of God, I bless you to fear no evil. Mm-hmm. This is for you, whether you are on a mountaintop or in a valley, whether you're young or old, whether your bank account's big or small. You are the heir of God's own spiritual inheritance that has been given to you in Christ. And I bless you, child of God, to live without fear, to live with the certainty that Paul had when he said, I'm sure neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, that you not only are accepted, but you have been made through Christ acceptable. You have been given the merits of Christ's own righteousness. And God has so much invested in you. This is what I want to just bless you, child of God. Please listen to this. You have been given the gift of Christ. God has invested so much in you. He has put a down payment, a deposit of the Holy Spirit in you, and it guarantees that you are God's. Mm-hmm. So, child of God, rejoice in that. I bless you to fear no evil, because perfect love has come to you, and that perfect love, day by day, the more you drink it in, it's going to cast out all fear.
So good. Thank you for that, Pastor. Okay, so Steve asked a good question. He said, Susie, is a holiday resolution an oath? And I'm grateful you asked that, Steve. You know, I was thinking of, like, I'm resolving to be a blessing. I think it was Jonathan Edwards who had something like 100 resolutions as far as how he wanted to walk out his walk of faith. But I can sure see where that, I mean, maybe speak. What are your thoughts on that, Alan?
Well, I think that there are goals that we set. Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to understand is that the goal that we set is one in which we say, okay, Lord, here is a desire that I have that you will enable me to live out this goal. So goals and plans are good, but vows and, you know, in that sense, resolves, if they are become oaths, are not helpful, which is why, New Year's resolutions, you know, are so short-lived. But where it ends up being powerful for us is we say, okay, God, I can't do this by my own power, but here is an aspiration and a goal that I'm setting, and I'd like to make out a plan for this. Now, I trust you to empower me to do this. And even as you are doing that, what we, you know, change the goal from it being, let me be better and better in God's eyes, to really the goal is, let me so immerse myself, God, in your grace day by day, reminding myself of who I am in Christ, so that I find myself energized by the gospel and fueled by the Holy Spirit to be able to walk this out. And so in a very real way, you know, if you want to bless others' lives, the very best thing you can do is say, okay, I'm going to steep myself in blessing every day, and that's what's going to flow out of me.
That's so good, and that you said it so well. So, Steve, there's the answer right there. My idea of just getting under the waterfall, the overflow of all that God sings over you, all that he says about you, all that he offers to you, and receive it and believe it and walk in it, but then purpose to be a dispenser of that, to say, Lord, I want to walk through these holidays in a different spirit, opposite spirit of what the world is doing. And to me, the distinction is what you just said, and I would even add, an oath is taking God off the throne, putting yourself on the throne, and making it a decree that is self-sabotaging, because it's void of faith, and it's usually driven by fear and self-protection, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and when we make oaths, the other thing you can identify that makes it different than just a wise plan or a good goal under, as you say, the overflow of God's continuing grace, is that with the oaths, unconsciously, we attach negative consequences if we don't meet the oath.
Very good.
And that's, I think that's when you see in the scripture where oaths are so negative. And it's because we tend to go, if I don't, we put ourselves as if under a law covenant again. If I don't fulfill this, then I won't be blessed. And what we do under the power of blessing is we say, I am so blessed. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Therefore, I yield myself to God, and I aspire to a different way of living. And it's all the difference in the world. So law and oath says, I must do this or else I'm going to be punished, else it won't go well for me, else it won't, in a sense, we invoke curse. But that's not the case. When you say, I'm really full of blessedness because of what God's done for me, I'll think much of it, and as such, here's what I'm aspiring towards.
So good. And I'm going to be open. I'm so open on this show. I love our listeners so much. But I'll just tell you, you know, one of the battles in the health for me has been sleep. And they attribute it to this stupid Lyme co-infection that just recklessly goes after sleep, where I'm super disciplined with my bedtime hours, whatever. But there'll be times I'll get 2 hours. And then when you don't sleep, it kicks in these dumb neurological symptoms. But anyway, I've been really working through it, going, Lord, I know that you made our bodies to need rest, and I need to get to the bottom of this. And what came up for me recently, my boys were little, the symptoms were emerging, all the neurological things, but we didn't know what was wrong with me yet. And one of my boys, we'd almost lost him to a respiratory distress, like an RSV. Then, you know, 9 months later, I deliver our third son. So the one who'd been sick got sick again, and so I had to keep them separate. So we lived in this little split entry. I'm sitting in this little rocking chair. I go nurse the baby, disinfect my hands, change my shirt, run down, do the bronchial drainage on Luke, disinfect my hands, and I'd sit in that chair and never slept more than 2 hours. I did that for 2 weeks. And Jordan, our baby, still got sick and ended up in the hospital. And then you jump ahead. Once they settled down, the disease, the night times were when it was just the worst. The surges were the worst. Then you go forward to 7 years ago when I had this relapse. Same thing. The worst surges were in the middle of the night that were so terrifying. And what we've realized, the Lord has just shown me, and it wasn't a vow, but it was a belief, I can't sleep. Like I can't sleep. And you know, it's like a core belief, really. Like, I can't sleep because of what might happen. You know, either I have to protect my babies, I have to brace for impact, you know. And it's just been, I could cry when I think about it, because that was baked in. I mean, and it just now God is helping me deal with it, because I've been asking him, show me. I know sleep is a gift from you. But so can we say, just talk a bit about that?
Yeah.
Because when you think about, you've got oaths, you've got inner vows, but they're also, when trauma happens, there's core beliefs that can function in the same way, right?
Yes. Wow. Well, I just, even as you share that, Susie, you know, see what I feel when you say those words and you're beginning to have my agreement and be vulnerable enough to have listeners' agreement that's not the truth statement of your life.
Yeah.
And so blessing comes back in, and I come back and say, you can sleep.
Yeah.
And God's made you to have sleep, and he's promised sleep for you. And you begin to experience, and what I sense is just incredible power from God, even as you're saying the words. But what happens is, when we're wounded, and we're going to get wounded, we're going to have traumas. We're in this world, we have troubles. And what happens is that when we do not have the tools, the safe environment, the understanding of grace, the family of origin that can help us with it, or whatever it takes for us to be able to take that wound to God, for it to be healed, for it to be held in His hands and released from us so that we're not carrying the burden of it, so that we can live in the light and walk in the light with others as Jesus is in the light. If we don't have that, and we in one way or another misinterpret and attach our own belief systems to those wounds, we begin to say, well, this is the way life is, and this is the way. And what happens is that all manner of other sinful responses can get attached, including these inner oaths that we're talking about. So it all goes back to, God, I need your healing for those traumatic moments in my childhood, because you were there, and in a miracle of His eternity, He's outside of time, and He's still there. I don't understand how to explain that, but He is, and He can heal, and He can show us that He was with us when you weren't able to sleep, and you were having to be on the night hours, on the watch, and to see the presence of God with you, and to see that it wasn't all up to you, and that He was there, and He has been protecting, and He has been helping, so that then the wound begins to be healed, and then the vow that says, I can't sleep, it's my job to stay awake and take care of people, begins to be handed back over to Christ and let Him be Lord over that, and there can come healing and freedom. And the amazing thing is, Susie, I'm sure you've seen this so often, I see it, sometimes when the oath gets revealed and gets broken, and when the blessing then begins to come in, the healing and the change begins to happen. Maybe the sleep begins to come better than ever before, because we're in a spiritual battle. And when grace comes in like a flood, that which has been binding often has to go.
Oh, hallelujah. Wow, when we come back, we're going to talk about blessings that heal. And I love that she said, when we bless people, we don't tell them what they ought to believe. We tell them the good news that we believe for them. Also, on the other side of the break, Pastor Allen is going to speak a blessing over you. If you have a father wound, or you have just felt kind of battered by these last several seasons in a row where you just feel, again, out from under the blessing of God, Pastor Allen's going to speak a blessing over you. And women, if you have a father wound, or you feel, again, just less than, like you're not living in the overflow of God's love and His promises for you, Pastor's going to speak a blessing over you. Don't miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. Talking to Pastor Allen Wright, and his book is so precious, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. More great conversation in a moment.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. What if I were the one to tell you?
Maybe you needed to hear that. The fight has already been won. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Allen Wright. He's an author, pastor, he's a radio host. His book is titled The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. And Allen didn't just write about this. He's been living this for many years. And he's got so many friends that we've had on the show. Eric Metaxas, Gary Chapman, Steve Brown, Dudley Hall. Wow, so many great guys who've known him forever and said this is his life. And it really is. If we could, before we have you speak a blessing over to these men and women who so desperately need it, say a bit more about the blessing that heals, about really like saying, I'm not telling you what you ought to believe, I'm telling you what I believe on your behalf.
It's so beautiful when we really get this, that what Christianity is, what the gospel is not us telling someone what they ought to be. Mm-hmm. But the gospel is us telling them who they actually are. Mm-hmm. The first thing we can say to anyone who is not yet a believer is, you're made in the image of God. You are spectacularly made in the image of God Himself, and you are in his eyes, infinitely loved. And so therefore, you are, just as a human being, you are miraculously, spectacularly made in the image of God and treasured by God. Well, you see, that's a truth statement about someone. And I always think my wife is so good at this when she gets with women, and if she's meeting with a group for the first time, and she'll start out to the left-hand side, and she says, you know, you ought to be better wives. You ought to be praying more. You ought to be less impatient with your kids. You ought to be exercising more. And then she'd turn over to the right-hand side and say, women of God, you've been made in his image. You're treasured by him, and you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and you're more than a conqueror through him. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You have been redeemed and forgiven. And then she just looks and smiles and says, which side of the room do you want to be on?
I love it. That's fantastic.
You know, I don't know what it is about the human soul, but there's something in the flesh, something in the sin nature that I don't know. We gravitate towards, yeah, somebody tells me this is what I ought to be. And it sounds like it resonates because, yeah, I ought to be better. But what blessing is the way of God. And what he does is he comes right into the midst of our life, right into the midst of our brokenness, right into the midst of all of our folly. And he tells us who we are. He is like Christ, who looks at Peter, who he knows is going to deny him three times, and says, you're a rock. And so when you begin to see someone's true identity and you speak it over them, this is the power of blessing being released. And when you attach a positive future to that identity, you are Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. Now you have gone even further, and you're releasing them into a destiny that you've seen because of the truth of God for this person's life. That's where the power of God comes, Susie, is seeing who people really are and announcing it, rather than telling them some religious notion of you ought to be better.
Boy, that's so good. All right, we're going to do this now because I've already received some response from some who've said, that's me, I have the father wound. So if you would speak to that one, but he can represent the many men who are walking around, who love God, but are just bleeding under their armor and need a father blessing. Go ahead, Pastor.
I just appreciate this chance, men, to stand in for a father who either wasn't there or didn't know how to bless. And I invite you to open up your heart as wide as you can to receive truth from God coming through me just as a vessel on behalf of a dad that maybe just didn't know how to say it or wasn't there. And during the break, I had an image that came to mind that I trust is from the Lord, and it's for somebody, and it is of a boy who has brought something, whether it be an accomplishment, piece of artwork, a model that you've made, something you were proud of, and you brought it to your dad, and he hardly took notice of it, and you just wanted him to tell you that it was good. And so I just feel for you, whoever that might be in this moment, and I say, I bless the work of your hands. You are creative, you're diligent, and I see it, and God sees it, and he knows it, and he affirms it. Good work. Good work, son. Receive the blessing of God that says that what you do bears fruit. And so I bless that fruitfulness. I stand in the place of that dad who didn't know how to say it. I'm proud of you, son. Only when you know how much God affirms the work of your hands, and that might be from the simplest little project to your great entrepreneurial effort, then when you see it and you know it and you receive this blessing, that I'm proud of you, that I love you, I accept you, I see the fruitfulness and the power of your work, then you can do it with joy, not out of fear. Not out of fear that you have to do more in order for finally your dad to be proud. Receive it deeply. Child of God, you're accepted in the beloved.
Hallelujah. Now I'm thinking of that dear girl, that dear woman who's got a little girl in her who's got a broken heart and needs to know her father's blessing.
I just had this image of a little girl and your dad was harsh with you. And I want to bless you and say you have a Father in heaven who is not harsh and his mercies are new every morning. I want to bless you with this truth from Hebrews that says you can come to the throne of grace in your time of need and you can come boldly because you can trust your Father is not going to be harsh with you. He's not going to have a bitter and strong word for you. He came for this very purpose, that you would know that through the shed blood of Jesus, you have full and free access, and the Lord's face is shining upon you. I speak to every woman who you saw your father's frown, or you heard his harsh word, and something inside of you felt trampled. Something inside of you felt that now you're unsafe because it never is predictable. Can I come and be safe now, or will this be the time in which he's harsh? And I bless you, dear woman of God, daughter of the Most High, I bless you with the promise of God that you can come to his throne because it's a throne of grace, and you don't have to wait until some opportune moment where you think you're going to catch your father in a good mood. He is delighted in you. He rejoices over you. His mercies are new to you every single morning. So there is no fear for those who are in Christ. I bless you to be able to receive and to see and look directly into the Father's eyes. May he lift up his countenance upon you, make his face shine upon you, show you his smile, and give you peace.
Father, I just feel prompted to pray as Pastor's brought so much up, and I know many people are resonating so much with everything he said. And for those who've understood that there's been an inner vow, a core belief baked in that's actually sabotaging the best of what you have, would you give them wisdom on how to announce it, renounce it, reject it, and break it off of their lives? For those who've been carrying baggage, I pray that they would get the vision of dropping it before they exit this year and enter into the next year with a strong sense of your mighty right hand. Because you're at our right hand, we will not be shaken. I pray, God, for these dear souls to meet more people like Alan that will love them and speak life to them. And I pray that so much healing would happen in these next few weeks that people never thought would happen. I pray so much healing. I pray for miracles upon miracles in those deep, deep places so that people truly would know that, Jesus, you came to seek and save the lost. You came to destroy the works of the devil. You came to set captives free, and you care about the human condition. Father, we just thank you with all our hearts for this time today of ministry, and that you go to those deep places because that's where we're set free. You desire truth in our inmost being because in the hidden place you'll make us know wisdom. Thank you for this time of ministry, for your presence, and for brothers like Pastor Alan that can usher us into your presence so we can know your love in a way that changes us. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
I'm just kind of undone once again. Every time you come on, I feel that way. We just got about a minute left, Pastor, and I'm wondering, what do you know about God now you didn't know 5 years ago?
Oh, I know now more about the providence of God, and what I hear my wife say almost every day, our steps are ordered of the Lord. I think I used to give mental assent to that, Susie, but I believe God's in the moment, and I believe Ephesians 2:10, that we're his workmanship created for moments like this from the foundation of the world, that you were created, that our listeners were created for the very things that God is going to take you through, and that his hand, his providential hand, really is at work. This is not by coincidence. We're not here by chance. And God loves us so much that he really is bringing all things together for the good of those who love him. I
Pastor,
really see it more deeply.
Oh, it's just so beautiful, and we've got to get you back after the new year. Thank you for pouring into our listeners. So many people are texting in saying, you nailed it. That word was for me, and we're so honored and blessed by your gift with us today. And friends, thanks for tuning in. I pray you find some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.